New York food critic Bernice Black stumbles across a severed head floating in a mold of aspic. Who would want the famed French chef Laurent Tirel dead? And who had the skills to make such a perfect aspic? Bernice is determined to solve this murder mystery set in the fine dining restaurant world of 1970s New York City. It's W.M. Akers' new book, To Kill a Cook. W.M. Akers is the author of the mystery novels Critical Hit, West Side, and West Side Saints, and the creator of the best-selling game Deadball, Baseball with Dice. After time spent as a playwright, Akers returned to fiction writing and specifically mystery novels, saying, "I just think there's something wonderfully simple and fun about a story that starts off with a dead body, and being able to play with the conventions of the detective investigating a killer, interviewing suspects, and running all over town." We start our What We're Reading interview with W.M. Akers describing the heroine, Bernice Black, in To Kill a Cook.
The hero of this book is named Bernice Black, and she's a food critic at a fictional magazine in New York in the early 70s. And she is somebody who absolutely lives to eat. And she's equally at home at a lunch counter or the absolute most luxe French restaurant in New York City. She moves between them with ease. She says that she is excited to eat anything as long as she feels like the cook isn't wasting her time, and that there's nothing she doesn't like except lima beans, and even those she'll probably eat if you put enough butter on them. So she is somebody who has an enormous appetite, and she's very much a reporter, very much a New Yorker, which means that she is incredibly impatient and very sarcastic and talks a mile a minute. When I was trying to get a handle on what her voice was like, I decided that I wanted the book to sound like you just run into an old friend of yours on the subway and she was trying to tell you a crazy story as fast as she could before you had to get off. The book has kind of that rapid fire pace, both in her delivery of it and in the actual events. She's also bisexual and trying to figure out like what that means to her in 1972. She's engaged to a man. She has what should be a very comfortable heterosexual relationship, but she's feeling this urge to like explore her sexuality and figure out what that means. And part of the story of the book is her trying to figure out how to come out to her fiance and what that's going to mean for their future.
The story opens with Bernice's discovery of a severed head floating in, of all things, a mold of aspic, basically a jello mold made of broth. We learn it is the head of a renowned chef, Laurent, who is also a good friend of Bernice's. So, of course, my first question is, why aspic?
So, for those who don't know, for those who are lucky enough to have avoided it, aspic is like a savory jello that was a really important part of upscale French cooking for decades. You would like put fish in it, you'd put ham in it, you'd put eggs in it, like anything. And it was a way of making food like physically cool when air conditioning wasn't so much of a thing. So like my mom grew up in the South and tomato aspic was like a really important thing there because it's a cold thing you can eat in the summertime that's savory. One of the reasons that I set this book in 1972 is I really love that moment in culinary history because you've got all of this stuff that seems sort of frighteningly old-fashioned, like ham and aspic, but you've also got the beginnings of what we see as what fine dining looks like today, like fresh ingredients, seasonal cooking, all of that kind of new American stuff. So it's like a cool moment in history where those two things are colliding. And Bernice is equally at home in both of them. I wanted to feature aspic like right from the beginning. In fact, the original title for the book was Nightmare in Aspic. The head in aspic was like the first idea that I had for this novel, because to me it just symbolizes all of that like very old school, very difficult, very challenging, but to us very weird types of cooking. So I wanted to have something like that that is like an immense feat of skill to make an aspic. And also from a 21st century perspective, it's like, why would you do that? It's so gross, whether or not there's a head in it.
Right. Yes, right. I'm glad you mentioned the 1970s because of the story being set in 1972 in New York. And I feel like there's really no better place for a story like this in that city. The era really comes alive in your story, aside from the food There's the idea of Bernice racing across the city and Central Park. Bernice is always trying to catch a cab or train, and in order to solve this mystery. And it made me think of like the technology aspect, of course. Like a lot of this could have all been handled with a few texts, you know. But the
What's
70s,
fun in that?
you got to really work to make the 70s fit into this story. Is kind of what I was seeing. Is that something that you came across as you were writing it and thinking that this would help kind of flesh the story out more?
Yeah, so part of it is just, living in New York for a long time. One of the great things about New York is that unless you are spectacularly rich, there are just certain practical things that you have to deal with, like other people on the street, getting on the subway, trying to catch a cab. How do I get across town? I've only got 20 minutes. Like all of those just like practical realities are the same for everybody. So in that sense, it's very democratic. And I love those practicalities. I love worrying about like, can my detective not just solve this murder, but also, complete all of these interviews that she has to do and still make it to this dinner that she's got scheduled on time. Because I feel like those sorts of real world practical concerns at create like so much conflict for the character. They make things so much harder for her, and they do it in a way that's really realistic because we all have to worry about, can I get there on time? And the era aspect of it, the 70s of it, just makes all of that stuff harder. Because as you said, there's no cell phones, there's no way to text somebody and say, hey, I'm going to be late. If she gets pulled off the street by a couple of big tough guys in a red town car, she can't text her fiance and say, like, BTW got kidnapped, be home late. She just knows that he's going to be worrying about it. And so anything that you can do to make things harder for your hero, to create obstacles for your hero, even if it's just on this sort of like very day-to-day, like small scale level, it makes the story feel richer and makes things feel more alive and stresses her out more, which, especially for Bernice, the more stressed out she gets, the more funny she gets. And so I try to keep her at a pretty high state of stress the entire time.
Now, you've got the whole gamut of French food. You've got all kinds of food to choose from, and we already talked about aspic. As you were talking about the tomato aspic that you had, that your mother made, it made me think of the scene in the book where Bernice and another chef just very simply create a tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. And it was just a beautiful scene to see
Oh, thank
the
you.
simplicity, the simplicity in that, but also the deliciousness of creating that. So I'm curious to know how you decided what foods were going to make it into this book.
I wanted a nice balance of stuff that seems very appealing to a 21st century audience, like your classic tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich, and stuff that seems really, really strange. I have a nice big collection of classic cookbooks that I drew on for this, going all the way back to Julia Child Mastering the Art of French Cooking. And so I would just have fun flipping through it. I just made lists of like, this sounds really good, this sounds really gross. And I just try anytime she would go into a scene, I wanted every time I imagine a scene for Bernice, I always think like there's got to be a food component here. So either she's in a restaurant or she's eating on the go or she's thinking about where she's going to eat. And because that's how she sees the world. That's like how she processes New York City. And so if she's thinking about a particular chef, she's not just thinking about who that person is. She's thinking about like, he does this one salad that's really, really on point, and I had it a few weeks ago and I loved it. Or, he is like this restaurant was in this one location, but it moved to another location, and since then the food has completely fallen off. So she sees everything in terms of that. And when I was thinking about something like that tomato soup, I just wanted something that she could make in a hurry. And I love making tomato soup because you can make it really fast. It's a thing that I always make for people when they have a baby. I bring them over like a nice big jar of it because it's comforting and it's homey. And that little moment is one where she is really, really like her nerves are ragged. And so it's a quick and easy way to make something that is comforting.
W.M. Acres' new book is To Kill a Cook. This was a highly entertaining and delicious read, at times gritty, but also witty. The heroine, Bernice Black, is a force to be reckoned with. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.